Brothers and sisters, I renew, but I also widen and deepen my specific expressions of everlasting gratitude given in April conference. I have been mercifully granted what might be called a delay en route. Whether short or long, it is a wonderful blessing from the Lord. I have thereby learned, however, that there is another side to the why me question, since some are not granted any delay en route at all. Whichever side of the question, what is needed is mortal submission, even when there is no immediate divine explanation. Thus we are to press forward, whatever the length of the near horizon, while rejoicing in what awaits us on the far horizon. In bringing to pass the beneficent atonement, certain things were utterly unique to Jesus. These cannot be replicated by us, the beneficiaries of the glorious atonement, with its gift of universal resurrection, but also its proffer of eternal life. Obviously, unlike our precious Savior, we surely cannot atone for the sins of mankind. Moreover, we certainly cannot bear all mortal sicknesses, infirmities, and griefs. However, on our smaller scale, just as Jesus has invited, we can indeed strive to become even as He is. This process of developmental repentance occurs when we truly take His yoke upon us, thus finally qualifying for God's greatest gift, eternal life. It is this latter dimension of the atonement, now more appreciated by me, on which my brief focus will fall. Mortality presents us with numerous opportunities to become more Christ-like. First, by coping successfully with those of life's challenges which are common to mankind. In addition, there are also our customized trials, such as experiencing illness, aloneness, persecution, betrayal, irony, poverty, false witness, unreciprocated love, etc. If endured well, all these things can be for our good and can greatly enlarge the soul, including an enlarged capacity for joy. Meek suffering often does the excavating necessary for that enlarging. My admiration goes to my many spiritual superiors who so exemplify for us all. In the world to come, to these, the most faithful, our generous Father will give all that He hath. Brothers and sisters, there isn't any more. These next examples from the atonement are non-exclusive to Jesus, but His guidance is found in His instructive, personalized words about the atonement. As He began to feel the awful weight of the approaching atonement, Jesus acknowledged, "For this cause came I into the world." We too, brothers and sisters, came into the world to pass through our particularized portions of the mortal experience. Even though our experiences do not even begin to approach our Master's, nevertheless, to undergo this mortal experience is why we too are here. Purposefully pursuing this cause brings ultimate meaning to our mortal lives, and we are greatly helped if we enter with faith that pavilion of perspective, the plan of salvation. Then the search for meaning is ended, even though further and resplendent discoveries await us. Alas, as church members, we sometimes behave like hurried tourists, scarcely venturing beyond the entry point. Next, as we confront our own lesser trials and tribulations, we too can plead with the Father, just as Jesus did, that we might not shrink, meaning to retreat or to recoil. Not shrinking is much more important than surviving. Moreover, partaking of a bitter cup without becoming bitter is likewise part of the emulation of Jesus. Continuing, we too may experience moments of mortal aloneness, These moments are nothing compared to what Jesus experienced. Nevertheless, since our prayers may occasionally contain some whys, we too may experience God's initial silence. Certain mortal whys are not really questions at all, but are expressions of resentment. Other whys imply that the trial might be all right later on, but not now, as if faith in the Lord excluded faith in his timing. Some why me questions, asked amid stress, would be much better as what questions, such as, what is required of me now? Or to paraphrase Moroni's words, if I am sufficiently humble, which personal weakness could now become a strength? President Brigham Young spoke of what evoked the why from Jesus, saying that during the axis of agony, which was Gethsemane and Calvary, the Father at some point withdrew both his presence and his spirit from Jesus. Thereby, Jesus' personal triumph was complete and his empathy perfected. Having descended below all things, he comprehends perfectly and personally the full range of human suffering. A spiritual sung in yesteryear has an especially moving and insightful line. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Truly, Jesus was exquisitely acquainted with grief as no one else. By sharing as best we can in the sufferings and sicknesses of others, we too can develop our empathy, that everlasting and vital virtue. We can also further develop our submissiveness to God's will, so that amid our lesser but genuinely vexing moments, we too can say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When heartfelt, this expression of obedience constitutes real petition followed by real submission. It is much more than polite deference. Rather, it is a deep yielding in which one's momentary uncertainty gives way to the certainty of Father's rescuing love and mercy, attributes which drench his plan of salvation. We too can learn greater meekness by giving more glory to the Father. In lieu of our attention-getting behavior or any arrogant views of personal accomplishment, such as, my power and the might of mine own hand hath gotten me this wealth. Jesus, who accomplished the most by far, was also the most glad to give all the glory to the Father. Alas, even when you and I do place something on the altar, we sometimes hang around as if waiting for a receipt. Amid the array of mortal tutorials, we too should strive to finish our preparations for the third and everlasting estate which lies ahead. Thanks be to Jesus' glorious atonement. By so doing, we too can become completed and finished, having finally attained our varied individual potentials. Though in a much smaller measure, we too may suffer the intensified interactive pain of body and spirit, physical and mental anguish. Whatever the grim physical agonies of Jesus' crucifixion, surely his utterly unique sufferings in spirit were absolutely enormous, as he bore our sins to atone for them and our sicknesses to understand them, according to the flesh. Intensification can be part of tutoring. Otherwise, we may be like superficial students, comfortably coasting and merely auditing a course. Then comes the intensifying moment. We suddenly find ourselves enrolled for credit, and it's pass or fail. Periodically, we too will experience a measure of irony. that hard crust on the bread of adversity. Jesus met irony constantly as he was taunted by circumstances. For instance, this earth is Jesus' footstool, but at Bethlehem there was no room in the inn and no crib for his bed. As foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The most innocent suffered the most when some of his subjects did unto him as they listed. Bearer of the only salvational name, yet the Lord of the universe lived modestly as a person of no reputation. Christ constructed the universe, yet in Little Galilee, he was known merely as the carpenter's son. You and I, when impacted by lesser irony, are so much more brittle, often forgetting that some tests by their very nature are unfair, especially when crusty irony is present. Thus, brothers and sisters, along with the great and free gift of the universal and personal resurrection, there is also the personal possibility of meriting eternal life. Those stretched by our challenges, by living righteously and enduring well, we can eventually become sufficiently more like Jesus in our traits and attributes that one day we can dwell in the Father's presence forever and ever. By so living now, our confidence will wax strong in the presence of God then. Confirmingly, the prophet Joseph declared, "If you wish to go where God is, you must be like God or possess the principles which God possesses." Again, our experiences surely do not approach those of Jesus, yet the same principles and processes apply. His perfected attributes exemplify what can be much further developed by each of us. There is certainly no shortage of relevant clinical experiences, is there? Strange as it seems, we sometimes respond better to larger challenges than to the incessant small ones. For example, impatience with a spouse may occur while a more public challenge is managed quite well. One can be sincerely grateful for his major blessings, but regularly murmur over minor irritations. One can have humility that is hierarchical, being humble up, but not humble down. Enduring large tests while failing the seemingly small quizzes just won't do. Such shortcomings must be addressed if we are really serious about becoming more like Jesus. While so striving daily, we will fall short. Hence, the avoidance of discouragement is so vital. So where is the oft and much needed resilience to be found? Once again, in the glorious atonement. Thereby we can know the lifting tide flowing from forgiveness. Furthermore, by applying the atonement, we can continue to access the other nurturing gifts of the Holy Ghost, each with its own rich resilience. The Holy Ghost will often preach sermons to us from the pulpit of memory. He will comfort us and reassure us. The burdens not lifted from us, he will help us to bear, thus enabling, even after we err, to continue with joy the soul-stretching journey of discipleship. After all, while the adversary clearly desires our lasting misery, the Father and Son truly and constantly desire our everlasting happiness. Brothers and sisters, Christ paid such an enormous enabling price for us. Will we not apply his atonement in order to pay the much smaller price required for personal progress? Being valiant in our testimony of Jesus, therefore, includes being valiant in our efforts to live more as he lived. We certainly cannot enter his kingdom without receiving the restored ordinances and keeping their associated covenants. But neither can we enter his kingdom without having significantly developed our charity and the other cardinal attribute. Yes, we need the essential ordinances, but we also need the essential attributes. Yes, we need to keep our covenants, but we also need to develop our character. Do we not sing, "More Holiness Give Me," pleading that we can be more Savior like Thee? During this special process, how can you and I better ensure that the precious blessings given by God are fully received by us? For my part, I desire that my blessings, including the recent delay en route, bring about my greater spiritual refinement in addition to my greater grateful acknowledgement. Yes, you and I should count our blessings, but we should also make them count. Furthermore, since the focus in extremity falls on the things of eternity, such should be our firm focus in whatever remains of our mortal brevity. This is my earnest prayer for me and for you, in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I do not know who in this vast audience today may need to hear the message of forgiveness inherent in this parable. But however late you think you are, however many chances you think you've missed, however many mistakes you feel you've made, or talents you think you don't have, or distance from home and family and God you feel you have traveled, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement shines. Whether you are not yet of our faith, or were once with us and have not remained, there is nothing in either case you have done that cannot be undone. There is no problem which you cannot overcome. There is no dream that in the unfolding of time and eternity cannot yet be realized. Even if you feel you are the lost and last laborer of the 11th hour, the Lord of the vineyard still stands beckoning. Come boldly to the throne of grace and fall at the feet of the Holy One of Israel. Come and feast without money and without price at the table of the Lord. My beloved brothers and sisters, to those of you who've been blessed by the gospel for many years because you were fortunate enough to find it early, and to those of you who've come to the gospel by stages and phases later, and finally, to those of you, member or not yet member, who may still be hanging back, to each of you, one and all, I testify of the renewing power of God's love and the miracle of His grace. His concern is for the faith at which you finally arrive, not the hour of the day in which you got there. So if you've made covenants, keep them. If you haven't made them, make them. If you've made them and broken them, repent and repair them. It is never too late, so long as the master of the vineyard says there is time. Please listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit telling you right now, this very moment, that you should accept the atoning gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the fellowship of His labor. Don't delay. It's getting late.
dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be? I've been
I doubt that you still